everybody. It's a little Italian for you right there. A little Italian for you, folks. A little Americanized Italian. I am half Sicilian. Grandfather from Sicily, but I do not know any Italian. Just like everybody else. Anyways, special shows for you guys. Welcome back to the Slam Peak Podcast. It's me, Josh Accardo, your host, your confidant, your proprietor, your penis in a glass. So today I have on someone I've been trying to get on for a long time, and I finally got him. They're really hard to get a hold of. A very busy person. I have Lonnie Lee, a very well-known photographer. She shoots a lot of Playmates and other things, and also is a great artist in general. So I found Lonnie because I was this show focuses predominantly on models and actresses and anyone who gets paid for how they look. So even if you had one arm, I'd have you on as long as you're always being judged on how you look, and that's kind of the way you make your living. So that's a dynamic I do on the show, and that's what makes that's my angle for the show. It's something that I've been doing for the last 7 months. Predominantly, I mean, I've always throughout the course of the last year and a half, 2 years I've done the show, I've done this to a degree. Not that I don't have men on, of course I'll have men on again eventually, but I'm really focusing in on that. Now, that being said, I was searching through a Rolodex of women, on, you know, whatever the Model Mayhem, Instagram, all this stuff, and just to find guests. And I kept seeing this woman's work. You know, because people tag her in their work when they're taking their pictures, blah, blah, blah. And I said, God, who the fuck is this? And so I went to her Instagram and did some, you know, background on her. And she had really great work. And the thing was, it wasn't just about, I mean, she takes pictures of really, really beautiful women, obviously. So that catches anyone's eye who's a man and likes women, even women who just appreciate hot women. But the way she does it, there is nothing cheap about it. Like, everything to me that I saw had story, and I said, fuck that, I gotta talk to her, because that's interesting, you know, it isn't just about TNA, it's just, the way she's doing it is very interesting. So, it took a while, but I got her on, and it took a while because, I think she called a bunch of references, because there's people on the show that's worked with her before, and I think most people, when I tell them, hey, I want you on my show, women in general, like, they're not gonna come into a stranger's house, and maybe I have a face that looks like a predator. Like, maybe it's my nose. This nice Italian nose that maybe is a... It makes me look predatory. I mean, I'm very alpha-looking. So maybe I look like a creep. I mean, it could be an array of reasons. It could be all of the above. The point is, I'm not really those things. And people find that out when they talk to me, how great I am and charismatic and charming and handsome. And they just want to hold me like a teddy bear. Anyways, I had Lonnie in and we got at it, man. We really chopped it up about her artwork and what she truly, you know, how she identifies as an artist. And it was very helpful for me. And also, I want to have her back on continuously. I think she's, I like the person who has to also see the models from the other side. Like, I see them from the other side of the microphone and she sees them from the other side of the lens. And I think that's a cool dynamic to have on the show. And there could be something built there. So, one of my favorite interviews ever. I think you're really going to enjoy this, so enjoy. All right, I am, I'm really lucky today because, I'm lucky every day, you know, I'm a very lucky man. But also, I'm lucky because I have photographer extraordinaire Lonnie Lee with me. Say hello, everybody, to everybody, please.
Hi.
So, Lonnie and I don't, know each other personally. But I saw her work, like, just through, she takes pictures of a lot of Playmates and other such individuals, correct?
Yeah.
That's like, lots of people girls. Know you, lots of girls. You're around a lot of women.
Lots and lots of girls,
yep. Attractive women.
Yes.
So, it's really funny because, I do the show out of my apartment when I'm in New York because, one, it keeps it casual, two, it's mobile. And then three, it's always fun to see people talk to me when they're not on their home turf. And it's really interesting because Lonnie came in and was like, I text like 10 people your address in case you're some fucking creep. And I don't know. I think it's And the degree of it, I don't ever take it personally. I think it's kind of funny. But also, I always wonder, like, do I just have a face of a predator? Because even if, like, if you look at my website, I'm not to say I'm famous. I mean, you listen to my show, so maybe to some of you, like, you want to touch my butt and stuff. But that's cool. You could do that. But what I'm saying is, as a whole, I get that I'm not world famous, so people would be like, oh, this dude is known, so he's not going to do anything to me.
But even if you're known, you would still be a creep. Of course. You know what I mean?
So you would still text my address even if I was... Okay.
Absolutely.
So it doesn't matter about any legitimacy.
You text me the wrong address. So I had to then edit that back to people because I'm like, oh, now he's really creepy. He texts me the wrong address.
So instead of it being a mistake...
Just in case I end up dead, the police don't know where to find me.
I was wondering why when you were telling me, like, this is the... Like, you seemed, not perturbed, but there was definitely some, like...
No, I just knew that was what you had sent me, you know. But so, it was fine. It was across the street. It's not like you sent me to another borough. You know what I mean? But
it was really... It's funny because you don't answer emails often or text. So I tried to get Lonnie in the show for like... We're going on what? Two and a half months?
You don't answer emails or texts
to me,
often.
To me. So what's funny is I'm getting heat for the wrong address. And I've been, like, on her. Like, okay, let's do it. Let's confirm the time. Like, I've been diligent. I've had my shit together. And I fucked up on one number of the address. And she's let me have it. But literally, it's taken me... We were texting a little bit. And then you vanished like a ghost. Like, just gone. So I'm like, well, I'll just leave it alone. And then a couple months down the road, I was like, let me circle back and see if maybe she's just in a different mindset. And maybe she wants to do it. And I did it through email. And it was, like, 10 times easier.
Yeah.
Why is that? How do people not, like, I guess my work's on my phone, but even so, in this day and age, everyone's phone's right. Do you selectively go no already in your head when you see a text?
If I don't, it's a bad habit, and it's something I'm trying to get better at, and it's something that I get a lot of heat for at home, too. although I'm good about answering his, and then, like, I just...
Oh, your husband, yes.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. I have a BBM with him on our iPhones,
because
we started on Blackberries together.
Yeah.
So, like,
so it's like a romantic
separate
thing.
Yeah, but it's a separate app. So, like, it's a separate ringtone. So I always know if it's his, you know. But in general, if I don't have an answer to a problem, I don't respond.
You
and
avoid.
I leave it. Yes.
You're an avoider.
I was like the person with the stack of mail in the drawer, you know. I'm not anymore. Like, I have an accountant now, and, like, thank God for that. Because it's something I'm clearly not capable of handling on my own.
Sure.
And, but yeah, if I don't have a direct response immediately for a question or it's an irritating subject, I just leave it with the little red dot or whatever it is, you know, because I'm like, well, when I have an answer, then I'll get back to it. But I don't just tell people, like, hey, I don't know yet. Like, let me get back to you. I don't give them that very nice respect of letting them know that I don't know yet. So that's something that I've got to get better at, and I'm trying to. But if I take the red dot off, then I forget about it altogether.
You forget about it, period, though.
Yeah.
So let me...
Was I an irritating subject, or was I just an answer? I just didn't know when we'd be able to meet up. Like, right now I have four. But I have four that are, like, there's two right here that just happened.
Yeah.
But the other ones are, like, way back, like, months... Maybe
she's literally scrolling
ago.
Through her phone. She has like 500 text messages. It's so... Let me get this straight, just so my audience knows.
Mm-hmm.
You literally keep it with the notification on there.
Mm-hmm.
And how long would I have had to wait for a response? Is my number still in there? Oh, obviously you called me, so you have it. But
I got it from your email.
So
because
I
also
was gone.
Not save people's numbers
Neither
to
do
their
I.
name. So then I'm just like looking. For, you know, and I give up. So
it would have been done.
No.
If I
maybe.
Didn't email,
I thought about I thought about it after, and I was like,
a
oh,
month
shit.
Or two?
Yeah, that guy wanted to do the thing, which is probably good for me. I should probably get back to him, and then I forgot about it again. I have to have, like, lists and reminders, and I use my iCal, you know, like, my brain is not as sharp as some lovely other people's. Like,
do you smoke a lot of weed? Are you allowed to talk about that if you did?
No, I don't smoke any weed. I don't do any drugs. I don't drink. I don't whatever.
So your mind operates from an artistic level. So when you're doing what you do, which you're very good at, being a photographer, you're very good. But outside of that, in your regular life, you tend to move a little slower and kind of become a cadet about stuff.
I'm also on like a nerve medication that makes me a little bit slower, and I have to like work a little bit harder to remember things. So,
sure. What's the nerve medication about, if you don't mind me asking?
I have damage in my spine.
Okay.
I have a spinal issue. And, but it led to like a nervous system issue.
Wow.
So like when I don't take that medication, I can't walk properly. So
really, what happens? Like your leg goes out or something?
Like my leg goes, it starts off by going, my left leg goes numb, and then from numb it goes to like excruciating where I can't straighten my legs, so I can't stand or lay down flat.
Sure.
So I have to be in like a crouching position or like...
Hidden Dragon?
Yeah.
She's only half Asian.
I'm Asian. That's nice.
Hey. Keep going. Sorry, I just I'll throw them in there.
So whatever, and it was an interesting period of time. Like I was literally shooting using like a rolling office chair.
How do you shoot when shit is going on with your spine?
You know, I get a huge amount of adrenaline.
Sure.
When I'm shooting,
and you pay for it when you're done shooting,
and I pay for it when I'm done, and I love it. You know, and I'm like the first one to like climb a wall and like hang off the side of a thing. You know,
seriously,
and, like, be on the ladder upside down. You know,
so this
and
is how I found Lonnie. Sorry
like
to cut
it.
Her off, but that's what like. So I've had a lot of people on the show, and I'm super picky. And the thing about the show that's interesting that we started out this way talking about how it took me like a while to get in touch with her. To be really frank with everybody, I don't typically chase people down. That's not something I usually do because it's more of a favor I'm doing. Like, they're being on my show, so it's nice that they're being on my show. But it's also promotion for them, you know? Like, it's a good thing for everybody. And most of the time, it's better for the guest. Not in Lonnie's case, but most of the time, it is just better for the guest. The point is, the reason why I was up her ass about getting her on the show is because I saw this usually... And a lot of models I've been dealing with, a lot of people in the industry, they haven't been stimulating, like, as far as talking to you. Like, it's not a visual show, so it kind of it eliminates the one factor that they actually do really well, and that's look good. And it makes them talk about themselves, which is why I love doing the show. But also, talking to these people, try to get them on the show, it becomes very like, oh, and that's the part that you find interesting about yourself? And then I talk to them for a while, and then oh, I can use that, and then I'll go into it and actually have them on the show. With Lonnie, I saw this clip of her. She fucking jumps into this bathtub with this really attractive girl's in this bathtub. And she's like getting all her clothes. She's trying to get this shot. And you can tell she's trying to get an angle. And she fucking jumps in the bathtub. And I was like, dude, I gotta get her on. Because that to me is interesting. Like that's fire. That's passion. You know, that's something that I want to talk about. So when you talk about your back being fucked up, I can only imagine the crazy shit you're doing. And then you're like, oh, fuck. Now I can't walk.
Yeah.
You know?
But, you know, like, that year that it first happened, it
did an accident? Is that what happened? Or
yeah,
happened to you?
I had a car accident
okay.
17 years ago, and then I had another one. And I wasn't driving, for all of them. Basically what happened was I was rear-ended twice, 4 years apart. But both times I was stopped, and both times the person was going like 40 miles an hour.
Oh, shit.
So the impact and then the double impact. So there's like multiple disc problems, neck, back, you know. But it affects my nervous system because I have nerve damage. So then like at some point I started having seizures and had to like really figure it out, you know.
How long did it take you to figure all this shit out?
About a year. And it was amazing. Once I got on this medication, it totally changed my life. Like... 3 weeks later, I was in Israel, like, traveling and walking and sightseeing and fucking hanging out. And
nice.
It was crazy. And I was like, oh, my God, I have my life back. But what happened in that period of time where I didn't have my life back was I had to figure out who I was.
Mm-hmm.
So my identity, for the most part, has always been as being a photographer.
Sure.
I've been doing it since I was 19.
This is 17 years ago?
No.
You were figuring all this out?
Four years ago.
Okay, all right.
Five years ago, something like that, it got really bad. I slipped in the shower, and then, like, it was a wrap.
Yeah.
You know, I was, like, really fucked up. So, and I had, like, I'd been on pain medication in the past, and I'd gotten off all of that stuff, and I was, you know, going to yoga and hiking, and everything was good, and then I slipped in the shower, and everything was fine, and then 3 months later, like, it came out of nowhere, you know? And I don't know if it was slipping in the shower. That's the only thing I can, like, pinpoint it back to that happened.
Yeah, because you're saying these accidents happened 17 years ago, which created
back issues. So 17 years ago, one happened, and then another one happened. And so it's
so
like...
So it was an annoyance of the back thing, and then it came to kind of a...
Yeah, I mean, it's all, like, once there's damage, there's damage.
Yeah.
And, like, you can heal the muscles around your body.
I know people have killed themselves over back stuff. Because they live in pain forever. Like,
yeah,
I mean,
it can make you crazy.
Like, as recent as 40 years ago, people, because no one knows shit about your back.
Yeah.
As recent as 40 years ago, people were, like, considering suicide because their back hurt so bad.
Yeah.
It's a
no,
fucked
as
up
recent
thing.
As yesterday. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That doesn't, like, change chronic pain.
But, I mean, with medicine stuff.
But medications make you sick and then make you addicted and, like, you know, the prescription game is crazy. And then not having insurance. I went into debt. You know what I mean? Because I didn't have insurance at the time. And, like, it's insane when there's a medical issue, like, what the industry is... I mean, don't get me into, like, political stuff, but I have a lot of opinions.
Of course you do.
Yeah, right? But it changed my life. And it changed my life in the sense that I had to figure out who I was. And what I figured out was, who I am is how I treat other people.
Why did it make
it's
you do that,
what
though?
I do.
Just to take
because
two steps back.
Being in pain makes you bad at life.
Like, you
literally
take
it
out on the people around you.
I'm standing in line at a convenience store, and somebody's taking too long, and I am, like, ragingly angry, you know? And then I'm snappy and whatever, and I was like, whoa, like, this has nothing to do with them. And I have no idea what's going on in their world. And, like, I'm pissed because this woman's, like, taking a normal amount of time. She's not hurrying because she doesn't know who the fuck I am or what's wrong with me. Like, I'm sure if I was in a wheelchair or something else, she might, you know, or visibly looked ill. But the way I look, even when I was in a wheelchair, people looked at me like I was full of shit. Like, I got denied priority boarding on a flight and had a seizure on the back and had to take, like, delayed the flight. Paramedics came. I was overnights in Vegas, you know, because of the way I look, people don't always assume that something's wrong.
How do you look? How do we describe this? You are mixed, right? What is your mix again?
I'm Korean and Irish.
Korean and Irish. She's very pretty, and you're tatted out, right? And you have a very, like, alternative look, would you say, in a very general way. It's, I mean, not everyone has tattoos,
you know,
now, but...
Sure, yeah. And for the most part, like... Yes, my hair is, like, purple and fluorescent green right this
second.
That
it is.
So it's not always like that, but I try to look like a normal girl that happens to have tattoos versus, like, oh,
that's
I'm a rockabilly with crazy makeup and crazy clothes and everything's got pins and whatever. Like, you know, because I like them. It's a collection of art for me. It's...
And she has good tattoos.
I have a lot of friends in the industry. I've gotten amazing stuff from people, you know, but it's not like... This is my lifestyle. I'm alternative, you know.
Like, sure, you're not, I get it. You're not like, you're not wearing
makes,
a flag.
It makes...
But you're saying people look at you, knowing what you look like. I'm looking at you now, but now they know, too, that they say they kind of make a perception like, oh...
Yeah, she's fine.
Fucking
you know.
Seizure? Yeah, right. You know, that kind of thing.
Yeah. And technically, I mean, I could have sued. They're not allowed to do that.
Yeah.
They have to let you board, even if... Like, you're not supposed to tell them. They're not supposed to ask. And they have to let you board regardless of what you're saying.
So you're saying you told them I need a priority board.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like...
Because I can't stand in a line.
Yeah. And you're like,
because I can't stay standing.
This is before the medication.
Yeah.
And they're like, nah. So you're saying that you're actually fucked up standing in lines.
Yeah.
Like, you're actually the one... Like, everyone hates standing in lines, but you really...
Yeah. And it's okay. And I'll stand in line, but I would squat. Like, I would get down into this position and I would wait and then I would come back up. And then I would wait and people
like
looked at me like I was crazy. And
the Asian smoking cigarette position.
Totally. I love this. I could do it. Isn't that funny? So, but in a plane, you can't do that because there's somebody behind you and somebody in front of you.
Sure.
And everybody's pushing and crazy because
it's
God forbid
sucks.
They don't like whatever
get the overhead
it is.
Space,
you know?
Like it's the worst.
But I think it's fucked up airlines because there's not enough overhead space.
No, there's
so
not.
Then it's like...
So basically you had a seizure and they had to call paramedic, delayed the flight, and you're saying that could all been prevented if these stupid assholes would have listened to you.
Just
let you get
board.
On the fucking
yeah,
plane.
So then I started taking wheelchairs every time. But it meant that I had to wait, I had to come 2 hours early to do
you get
all
the wheelchair,
that.
Yeah.
So, whatever.
So your whole life is basically rearranged by this, and through this, you were able to go, holy shit, like, look at the way I am right now, and it put me in a perspective where... I want to be a nicer person?
Yeah, I want...
You were not nice before?
No, it's not that. It's that how do you behave when, like, you're, like, really uncomfortable, you know? And you know, I do well for about 4 days and then I like lose my mind, okay. you know, and then I do well again for whatever. But it just made me realize that I could lose photography. I could lose these other things, and then what's left? So mm-hmm. what's left is my relationships with my friends
sure.
and with strangers.
That's all that matters you know? At the end of the day,
that's
right?
That's really all that mm-hmm. matters. So once that really made sense, and I was, what, like 27 when that kind of happened, then everything else became more simple in this way, you know? And like, whatever, nothing really changed as I got better. Like, mm-hmm. I kept the same job and I kept working the way I was working and I was able to do more and whatever. But I'm never upset by the fact that this is what it is that I live with. Like, okay. I'm grateful for it in a sense.
So the principle of it all, just to kind of sum it up for everybody, is that you're actually accepting of the reality yeah. that you have. And plus the medication helps.
Yeah, no, and it's amazing.
Freaking out as much anymore, I'm
yeah,
assuming.
Yeah, and
right?
I have to, you know, there's things with the medication that I have to work on and whatever, but...
Because people think photographer's life is glamorous. And my buddy shoots for a major corporation or a major magazine and stuff. And I think parts of it can be, but I kind of have some insight to what you guys have to deal with. And most of the time, like in the beginning, you're shooting just like I go do shows for free because I have to work out my shit. Sometimes you're out there just shooting because you got to shoot.
Yeah.
Like if you're not shooting, you're not getting stronger as an artist, sure. right? So it's one of those professions you have to do that. So you're carrying bags of shit, lenses, lights even. I mean, it's not like you have a fucking roadie. I mean,
no,
when you
I
shoot
mean,
for a major
do.
Corporation,
do.
You do. Maybe now you do, but back then, maybe
but
not.
But even still, I travel by myself. So my overhead bag when we get on the plane is 40 pounds. And I have to get it up over my head, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And if I don't get space in the plane, it's got $10,000 worth of shit in it.
Yeah,
and I'm trying to explain to the lady, I'm like,
no, don't put that underneath.
Please, yeah. you know, and I've had to put it underneath. And like, it is what it is,
yeah.
you know. Now I fly with the same airline. Go Delta, and so I've got Sky Priority. But yeah, so it's a lot of like carrying heavy shit. It's a lot of standing in these crazy positions for long periods of time.
Jumping in bathtubs, motherfucker.
With hot playmates.
That's
yeah.
right. It's tough.
That was really hard work. So
let me ask you. Let's rewind. So when did you? Where are you from? LA? Are you from California?
No.
Where are you originally from?
I'm originally from South Korea. That's where I was born.
Really? Okay.
Uh-huh.
And your dad is Irish?
My dad is Korean.
Okay, and your mom is Irish.
Is Irish, yeah. Mm-hmm. But not like Irish, Ireland, Irish.
Yeah, yeah, just an Irish-American
like,
person.
Yeah, Mobile, Alabama, Southern
really?
Baptist Irish.
Was yes. your dad in the military and that's how they ended up there having
no,
you?
My grandparents were missionaries and my mom grew up in Korea. Speaks Korean
wow.
and went back as an adult to live in Korea and met... while doing midwifery there.
Okay.
And then sometime like 89, 90, we moved to D.C. and then we moved to Seattle. And
did you speak English when you moved to America?
I did. I spoke both. Mm-hmm. And
are you dual citizen now?
I am.
Okay.
I do not speak Korean anymore, though. I was shamed out of it as a young child in elementary school, which is unfortunate. And
yeah.
It's a bummer. It's the only like major life regret I have is that
is
my mom didn't
that?
Make me mm-hmm. continue to speak. Cause it's a lot harder to learn as an adult.
So in the house they weren't speaking it as much. That's why you kind of lost it too.
No,
or?
I mean, well, my dad wasn't there.
Oh, like, okay. Mm-hmm.
I don't know him. It wasn't. We didn't have a relationship
okay.
as mm-hmm. a kid or anything like that. So it was just me and my mom. But she spoke English because we were in America.
Yeah, sure.
She didn't have anybody to speak Korean with, and then.
And you're like eight, right?
Yeah,
or whatever.
Yeah,
so you're a young
so.
Kid. That must be. So I've been a new kid a lot, and it's shaped a lot of what I do. Like a lot of chips on my shoulder that make me create is because I've been the new kid so much. It's
yeah.
a fucking awful thing. It really is. When you are a new kid, not only new to the school, but new to the country, was that like awful? I don't know how it is for women or girls or whatever. I'm assuming it's similar. I don't know.
We moved a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the most I've ever lived in one apartment is 2 years, and it was as an adult. 3 years, I think. Yeah, 3 years.
Even now.
As an adult. Yeah, even now. Right? I'm like, gypsy lady. But, so I learned how to adapt easily because
mm-hmm.
that was my only experience.
Yeah,
it's
just
not
learn.
Like
mm-hmm.
it's not like I was in one place for a really long time and made all these great friends and then I had to move. It was just like I knew I was moving.
Were your relationships with people as a young person because you moved so much, were they kind of like at arm's length?
I don't think so. I think, you know, I didn't like when we moved to Seattle, we stayed there for a while until I actually moved as a teenager myself. But like after this, I'm meeting my friend who's been my best friend since I was 11.
And how did you stayed in touch through long distance?
No, no, no. I stayed in Seattle from 8 to 16.
Oh, okay.
So even though we moved,
it's not the
to
same apartment,
places,
same city.
You know,
okay.
Yeah, yeah. And I would spend, you know, I spent a lot of time overseas, even as a kid. Once we left, so I'd go 3 months.
Mm-hmm.
I was in Pakistan during the Gulf War for 3 months, and because my grandparents were missionaries, so uh-huh. I would go and stay with them and be like.
What do missionaries do again?
Spoon-fed Bible.
Oh, they go out and preach the word.
Yes.
And try to, yeah, okay, all right.
And I think it's extremely wrong.
Isn't it funny that
to go
most
into
children
another
grow...
fucking culture
and try
and
to
tell
sway them
that
they're wrong?
Going to hell because they don't believe what you believe. If there is a God, I'm sure that is accepting of all the different ways you choose to have your faith.
It's still funny
and
how people
do
that.
And if he's not... then fuck them. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
yeah. Of
that's
course.
Crazy.
Of course.
So.
See, I am half Hawaiian, but the thing is I'm raised predominantly in Hawaiian culture. So I know all the gripes of all Hawaiians. I got my first generation mainlander. So it's funny you bring that up because that's essentially the story of the Hawaiians. Like, they hate white people. And I'm always like, it's really funny because we hate white people because...
It's
they did that to us.
It's the story of everybody. It's the story of this country, too.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
But we have basically shut everybody up to the point where, you know.
Because we're all together now in one place.
And it's like, look at this shiny thing over here. Reality TV, you know. Don't pay attention to the fact the world's about to end.
It's really hilarious how I was kind of going on a rant yesterday with my buddy about how, and you and I kind of talked about this, too. It's this Caitlyn Jenner thing is... That's fine. Like, that's really great that someone's out there, you know, and has a voice and all that stuff. I'm not debating any of that. But what the problem I have is that there's a lot of shit going on around me that I'm not seeing until I scroll down 700, mm-hmm. you know, lines of my media, like my Twitter. Like, for example, the terrorist was shot in front of a CVS in a suburb of Boston, you know, 4 days ago. Did I know about that? No, I had to read really deep into the news to find that out. I don't need to see 50,000 things about Caitlyn Jenner. But I want to see that. That's the shit I want to see.
Yeah.
And I think we're going to selfie ourselves right out of the fucking race here. Like, and it's getting to that point. And what's funny is that I wanted to have you on even more when we talked. Because Lonnie and I were talking about how this day of Instagram, everyone's kind of their own photographer.
Yeah.
And you brought up some really valid points on why it's good we have that. And also you kind of saw why it's bad. So let's go over why it's bad. I mean, I know you probably kind of hamstring because a lot of your people you work with are really well-known off of Instagram. So I'll say why it's bad. So here's why it's fucking bad.
Wouldn't want to upset any of my hot girls.
I would never want to penetrate anybody's pocket. Like, I'm too much of a hustler. So I'll say why it's bad. I am guilty of following women and people based off of how they look. Like, I'm totally guilty of following someone because they have a big ass. And then I come to grips with it, and then I say, okay, I can't follow them just because of that. I have to know what they're about, what they're saying, and why they're different. And I feel like what Instagram does is take away a lot of the substance of what a photo really is and the true essence of somebody. And I think when I look at your work, even though you're taking the same picture of some of those girls that just take selfie stuff, it's in a way that it's so... particular, like it tells a fucking story, and that's what I think is missing from Instagram. But you're saying it's good because it gives an opportunity for other people to go out there and create and see things, right? That's kind of the basis of why you were saying it's good.
I mean, well, you're talking about two different things. Like, one thing is girls that are taking their own photos, and another thing is people becoming photographers that don't have any formal or informal training about photography.
Mm-hmm.
So
are people doing that now?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Are you fucking kidding me? There's so many self there's so many self-taught people that are coming up, and it's incredible to watch them, and some of them are extremely talented, mm-hmm. and their learning curve is just super fast because they can look up any information they want, and they constantly have information coming at them and like, oh, this person did this, so I can change it and do that, you know? And like, I learned on film.
Yeah, what's your background? Like, did you go to school? Like, when did you start? I mean, I think obviously just like I'm a comic, that I didn't go to school for that, but that is something that's kind of been in me since I'm a teenager.
Yeah.
And I started at 21, and I learned my way. There's no college for stand-up. It's, you know.
There's no clown college?
Well, it's a clown college, but not necessarily a clown. I love how we both really respect each other's business, by the way. So, when would you like, okay, I got to take pictures, and what was your first camera? And I don't want to drag it out, but I kind of want to just get a little touch
okay,
of what's
like
going on.
Okay, like a really quick.
Yeah.
So, I didn't know that I was interested in photography as a kid, even though, like, looking back as an adult, there's pictures of me taking photos even at the age of 3, you know, mm-hmm. like, incredible pictures of me taking photos. And then, you know, around 7, 8, I'm, like, torturing cats by putting them in little tiny sets and taking pictures of them with disposable cameras. And then, you know, I'm also taking pictures of girls and have all this clothing out and, like, dressing them. And I'm in a bikini top, and then I'm taking pictures of other little 8-year-old girls in bathing suits on swings. Like, no joke. I'm standing on a ladder going
like a pedophile's dream.
You know, yeah, I'm an insane person. So, and then at 16, I'm taking pictures of, like, that girl that I'm meeting later, who's now actually a model, mm-hmm. And in a hot tub with no clothes, but hiding all of her parts
her
on
bits.
A disposable camera, you know? But I didn't know.
Now, are you bisexual?
Said,
I know you don't want to talk about your sexuality.
Boy. Okay.
I know you're not. You don't want to talk about this, but I don't think this. It's associated with what's going on.
Okay.
Because I think like I'm very extremely sexual, and a lot of my art I see revolve towards sexuality, and it's gotten
sure.
far more refined and far more adult as I've gotten older and mature. So instead of showing a girl getting actually like having sex with somebody, seeing her arms and her hair like go everywhere tells a story better for me. That's the kind of like refining, but mm-hmm. it's my sexuality that's very in depth and. When I look at your work, I don't find it to be erotic from like a dirty standpoint. We're like, oh my God, look at this hot mixed Asian girl jumping in a tub with this girl. We talked about this. But I see how you're able to find the essence of a female very quickly. And some people, even if they're female, can't do that.
Yeah.
So that's why I asked the question. Like, I'm really attracted to women. So I know like, oh, this is – and I'm interested in how they tick and what makes them move so I can write them better and stuff. Like, is that – kind of your background?
No, I mean, I consider myself a portrait photographer.
Okay.
So by being a portrait photographer, and then I didn't want to shoot girls.
Okay, all right.
I did not want to shoot girls. I had no desire to shoot girls. Sorry, girls. But, you know, I wanted to shoot weird portraits of weird guys, and, like, nobody wants to see that. Nobody
cares wants
about
to look
them.
At guys every
Nobody
night,
wants
right?
to look at guys, you know?
Even guys don't want to look at them. They
Even
do,
famous
but...
guys. Like, you still only get, like... this much, you know.
Of a hit off
yeah.
of that, yeah.
And I hate to say likes, but you know what I mean?
It's
like,
the world
if you
we
wanted
live
to
in.
Look at it in that yeah. perspective, right? So even if I did an art show, like, nobody wants to buy a picture of another dude, like,
mm-hmm.
maybe a really famous rock star, but again, your market is still small.
Because I love those
everybody
rock artist photos.
Women.
Oh, everybody loves. Even women
Regardless
who don't like women, they want to hate
they
on
are,
them.
Everybody likes women. All the way back. Centuries and centuries ago,
the first
art,
profession is what?
It's women. Oh, nice try.
Everyone likes women.
Yes,
that's the point.
Everybody likes women. So, and as I got older, like it's what I kept getting paid for, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And like I would take a job, and I'm like, oh, I'm not gonna really promote this. This is just my job,
mm-hmm.
you know. Whatever. I'm an artist. This is the other stuff I do. Look at this. And
yeah,
nobody
sure.
wanted to look at this.
Because I want
to
see your actual shit.
Nobody gives a shit about any of that stuff.
It's just guys like me who are like really artsy and then it doesn't
nobody
matter.
Cares.
No one makes
so,
money off that.
Whatever. But then I just started shooting more girls. But I think the thing that makes me different is that I'm a portrait photographer. So I'm looking for
mm-hmm.
a story in one photo versus
yeah.
a fashion photographer that's building a story through many photos, you know? And I'm looking for who they are and finding the beauty in them, regardless
mm-hmm.
of what they look like.
Sure.
So, and trying to then translate that into something that somebody else can recognize, you know? And I think that has more to do with it than my actual sexuality about whether I am into women or I'm not into women.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I think that there's something that happens that makes it easier because I'm not lesbian. You know, I
mm-hmm.
have a husband, I, you know... I'm straight for all intents and purposes, you know?
Yep.
And it's that there's chemistry and there's flow between me and whoever the subject is.
Sure.
And I think that if I was, it would make it a little bit harder to draw the line on whether or not they felt comfortable. Mm-hmm. And I'm not saying that, you know, gay women can't be incredible photographers.
No, no, I know. I
figure
understand.
Out how that works. But I, even being, you know, in the situation that I'm in, I'm always careful not to make them creeped out, you know, because
so even
I...
So you think you could creep them out?
Oh, totally. Well, maybe I could, maybe I couldn't, but I'm completely inappropriate, so I have to be careful
yeah, me
where
too.
The line is. And I always joke, I'm like, you know, who says that at work and doesn't get sued for sexual harassment?
That's why I'm a stand-up.
Because a girl will come in and I'll be like, oh my God, you have the most beautiful boobs. Can I see them? You know, and it's something that I can say that somebody else might not feel comfortable saying if their sexuality
so
was geared
I can't
toward
say that,
that or...
You're saying,
you know,
I can.
You can. You oh can say whatever God. You want, but you might get a different response. I usually get to see the boobs, so.
So you're saying I look like a guy that doesn't get to see the boobs. I see what you're trying to say.
Yeah.
You and I are kindred spirits in the sense that that's why I do the show the way I do it. And it's also the same reason why I hate doing this show. So I love doing the show because I think when I finally get that right person on, because I like people on that get paid to look a certain way, whether it's mm-hmm. because they have one arm or they're really hot, I think that creates so many conflicts and creates so many advantages for a person that I feel like there's so many conflicting things in them that if they are allowing themselves to expose those things to me, it makes for a very interesting conversation.
Sure.
I hate it because most of those people are really hard to deal with and very hard to like lift the veil and show them like, hey, this is what it really is. Like, I get that this is where you live in this fucking fantasy world, but in reality, this is what it's really about, and here's what people see and the perception and blah, blah, blah. So I hate doing the show for that reason, but I love it because now I'm like talking to you, which I think you have a similar outlook to that. Because look, I just asked you a question about your sexuality, which is something you didn't want to answer, and you did a great way of not answering it, but answering it. Because you're right. If you're a portrait photographer, you're telling a story, and all of your pictures I've seen tell a story. Like everything I see, like, oh, okay, I can see what this is. Like it's really good.
Yeah, I mean, and I struggle with that because some of the pictures that are just on a white wall or whatever, it's a little harder to capture that mm-hmm. whole thing. But
you work with what's given to you. That's what
yeah,
I'm saying.
Yeah, like, and I love making something out of nothing.
That's the
you
best,
know what I mean?
Right?
Like,
yeah.
We didn't have the car on Wednesday. Then I thought I was supposed to have the car, and he took the car to work by accident and whatever. And I had these girls at the house, and I was like, okay, and I moved the couch, and I pushed the rug up against the wall, and I put this over here, and whatever. And then I was like, let's do 70s porn, you know? And then we did it. Yeah, let's. And it came out fucking gorgeous. And if we'd had the car, it would have been a totally different thing, mm-hmm. you know? Or we had a big budget, like $15,000 budget.
Which is great, but
it's just awesome.
That's why I love making
indies.
But
it fucking rained.
So it doesn't matter anyways,
like,
yeah.
And then everybody's like, oh my God, what are we going to do? And I'm like, we're going to shoot in the rain.
Period.
That's what we're going to do.
Yeah.
Who fucking cares?
We're going to improvise and do it right.
We're
going
to make something cool out of whatever it is. And it came out really cool because of the rain, you know? But it's like if you focus on the thing that fucked it up, you lose the magic.
When it's usually that's what's going to make it magic.
Yeah, something's happening there if you can just like mm-hmm. calm down enough to see it.
That's why I love making indies. Now, granted, I haven't made a lot of big budget stuff, but when I make indies, it's like there's always a problem because when you don't have much money, there's always a problem. And one of my favorite stories ever is the movie Rocky, the director was a guy named John G. Avildsen, and they're trying to film Rocky running, you know, doing his training, right? And the guy, the DP was like, I got an idea, and he literally created Steadicam in that shoot. And that's shit like that, like putting a rug up against the wall. Like, there's all kinds of shit that you can do where you're like, holy shit, I just discovered something unbelievable. Just because I had to. Like, I was forced to. It's out of necessity. You know what I mean? So, that's my favorite part of any art.
I have brick walls in my apartment. They're gorgeous. They're glazed. They're 100-year-old, beautiful brick walls. But it means that every time I shoot in my apartment, it's very obvious that it's the same place.
Yeah.
You know, and I can't have that. So I'm actually working on building little sets of my own with like vinyl wood tiles and stuff like that so that I can have
more variety.
You know, when I lived in California, I had a studio.
Yeah.
I live in New York. I'm like putting the fucking camera on the shelf with the books in the bedroom with shoes with the, you know what I mean? And trying to hide it with a curtain. And it's, you know, there's a lack of space.
Of course.
So you have to make you have to get creative with your options.
What's like inspiring to somebody that has to make image, like still images, interesting? Like, what's like, do you have a photographer that that you kind of look at every now and again, and it kind of makes you regenerate that? Because you know, it gets stale, especially when you. I work a lot, just like you work a lot, and yeah. I get stale sometimes, where it's I feel like I'm working because I have to work,
mm-hmm.
but every now and again I need that kick, you know.
I mean, I'm not great at social media.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I find it a chore to get it is on a chore.
So do
and
I.
Do all of it. It's yeah. not like this. You know, you never catch me at dinner like on Instagram. I, you know, part of the reason that it's hard to get a hold of me is that I turn my phone off.
Which is smart,
If everybody's at home that's supposed to be at home, the phone goes off for a while, you mm-hmm. know? And because I own my own business, and on a Sunday afternoon, if somebody needs something, then I'm the person that has to give it to them. You know, if I'm sick and I have a deadline, I still have to work, you know? Yeah. And so being able to find moments where I do shut off, and also because most of my work is in California, then 6 to 9 is a really popular time for people to reach out to me, but it's also our time for homework, bedtime, bath, that kind of stuff. So it's like the phone's got to go off,
mm-hmm.
and people have to respect the boundaries, and that's really hard for me too, saying no. Mm-hmm. And I'm learning how to say like, these are you can't have these expectations, but you can have these instead. And
sure.
that, you know, but being new, as you know, you say yes to everything. Mm-hmm. So I'm trained to say yes to everything, even though I'm at a point where I kind of can say no more, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But I always feel guilty because I, you know, I want to do everything. It's I love jobs, it. Jobs, too. Know?
Like, because I think we always have that depression mentality as artists when we weren't making any money at all.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, like, you have opportunities coming at you, and it, whether good or bad, whatever. If it's money coming in, whether it's a little money or a lot of money.
You feel guilty not taking
any
it.
Any job. Any gig, if I don't take it, I feel like I had a guy offer me something in fucking an hour outside of Tulsa, and it was like a two-nighter, and the money wasn't great, and it took me every ounce to go, I can't do it. Because every part of me was like, you got it. What are you? You're not going to – you got to do that. Who cares? You walk to the gig. Like, I have that mentality where it's like,
too,
you get to the gig no matter what. Like, you got to – it's crazy.
And it's also, even when you are making good money, like, you know, I had a client that I had for 7 years, and then one day they were supposed to pay me, and they just
– decided not
decided
to.
Decided not to, and decided not to work with me anymore. And we mm-hmm. were in negotiation for a contract for the year.
Yeah.
Where, you know, I lost out on $50,000 for the rest of that year. And I
Ouch.
Was like –
What do you do?
Shit. Hey, I don't have any money.
Yeah, talk about that rainy you know? Day shit,
and
man.
And then, like, you have to figure it out. And you know, for 9 months last year, like, I couldn't fucking book a job. And it's not that I didn't book anything. I booked stuff. But, like,
but the big one. The one that makes your year. You know what I mean?
It was very slow for me. And I was like, and I'd been through that period before. And I was trying to explain to my husband. I was like, I'm resting. Because something big is going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
I'm telling you right now that, like, it's cool. We're just going to chill through this part. And thank you for having some money.
Yeah. Thanks for being my husband.
But, you know, like, it's going to happen. And then January hit and I have not
stopped.
You know what I mean? And, like, and then he's mad because I'm working till fucking, you know, 6 o'clock in the morning every night. And I haven't been to bed in a week. You know?
Yeah, yeah.
And he's rightfully so. But it just... It comes
it's
in
feast
like,
or famine in what we do.
It comes in these crazy hard waves and then it disappears for a little
It's
while.
Really hard to find partners that understand that. Like, I'm lucky enough to have a girlfriend that really understands, like, hey, dude, you're kind of crazy and you've wrangled it in pretty well, so we're all right in that aspect, but also your job is fucking crazy. Like, it's just not a... I mean, luckily she can come show up every now and again and see me, like, do my thing. I'm like, okay, great. I'm so glad I got to see that. And then it makes sense why you're out working, you know?
He's rad. He can't, like... He comes on set all the time. He's the only person that, because Playboy's closed set.
Oh,
he's
yeah.
He's allowed to come to any of our stuff.
That's awesome.
And
so you see other naked girls. And
totally.
His girl.
And he's
it's
so
awesome.
Not fazed by it. It's awesome. And then his friends are always like, oh my God, dude.
Yeah.
Oh my God, whatever. And he's like, well, first of all, let's be real. None of these girls look like that
no.
in real life. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And not to say that they're not attractive, but we have this idea in our culture right now that what's on the front of the magazine is real.
It's
and
no,
what's
not
on
even
TV
close.
Is real.
Yeah.
And it's like, I don't have a problem with Photoshop. I think that it can be an amazing artistic tool. It can be great for so many things, but we have to start telling our little girls, this is not what you're supposed to live up to.
Mm-hmm.
This is basically a cartoon. You know what I mean? In all mm-hmm. essence. So yeah. let's keep it real with the next generation of like, that's not the standard of beauty. Like, you have to look for whatever you like about yourself and focus on that, because beauty is one of those things where it's trendy, and it's yeah. been trendy as human beings for as long as there's been art. You know what I mean? Like, overweight women was the thing at a period of
those,
time.
I love because, those paintings.
And the boleros yeah, and whatever, oh, yeah. because, you know, it womanly, meant that you were wealthy. It yeah. meant that you, you know, if you had fair skin, it meant that you were pristine. Because
you're inside all day.
Because you're not yeah. fucking working the fields,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
So for every time period, we've had an ideal. And even 20 years ago, it was more, or I don't know, in the 80s and 30 years ago, it was more like big boobs, flatter
no,
butts.
No ass.
You know,
blonde
like,
hair.
Yeah. Tan skin, tan lines.
Spice Channel.
And now it's all big butts, you know.
Yeah, everyone has a big ass now. Which I'm not complaining
about. The boobs aren't as important mm-hmm. and, you know, whatever. So
they're always
like,
important. But
boobs are always important. But
I hear what you're saying, yes.
So it's like, and I was joking with a girl yesterday that that I'm working with who's like, I didn't find her, but I like to feel like I found her. She's mm-hmm. just amazing. We just actually shot her for the Married to the Mob campaign.
Mm-hmm.
She's a redhead. I love, love, love redheads and freckles and things like that.
Yeah.
And she is beautiful, but she's not a sample size. And so Leah and I were kind of like...
Who's Leah?
Leah owns Married to the Mob. It's
oh.
like a women's streetwear brand.
Oh, okay.
And
I've seen some of those ads now.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I've worked with them for a few years, and we always come up with fun stuff together. And we were like... I was like, does she have to be sample size? And she's like...
What is sample come size? On. That's like when they put the... Oh, I have a sample jacket.
To a size 2.
Yeah,
like, it's a
okay.
very small size.
Yeah,
size,
yeah, yeah.
Right? Because most of the models are that size.
Sure.
And that's what you shoot the catalog pictures with, uh-huh. right? So she's more like a size 6. And she's got a big ass. And she's curvy.
Yeah.
And she's, you know, she's got a woman's figure.
Yeah.
And we were like, fuck it.
She's got
and
a procreating figure.
She started hashtagging fuck a sample size, you know, and mm-hmm. we went for it.
Yeah.
And she's not a big girl. She's a size no. medium.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
She just got some ass.
In our culture, that's not, you know, yet that's what everybody likes right now.
Yeah.
You know, and
I love fashion, high fashion. And that's what their clothes they mm-hmm. think look best on are women that are built like that, right?
Yeah, well
that's
they build the clothes for that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And there's nothing wrong with that, but it's also like let's be clear that that's not what everybody looks like, and you don't have to look like that.
Yeah.
That works for somebody like me. You know, I'm close to that size, or I am that size, depending on the week.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so when I look online and I shop, I can see what something will look like on me based on that.
Mm-hmm.
But 90% of the population can't do that. So why are all of the fit models, you know what I mean, the girls that are showing the clothes, the fucking two, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
So,
you know, going back to what you said, though, about how... I mean, based the point I wanted to make that was interesting that I kind of been talking about is that no one, when you're talking about the filters and how you're not supposed to look that way, it really is true. And I feel like that's one of the things that I was talking about Instagram and other things. No one's ever getting rejected like they used to. Like, I grew up right before, I mean, I think I was about 4 years into major rejection, you know, as a pubescent male before the internet came out. Being rejected to your face, that builds character. Someone swiping left doesn't hurt your feelings. Someone
you can't even see if they swipe left.
Not you
Tinder
can't see it.
Is so crazy.
And OkCupid, if someone doesn't answer your weird email,
yeah.
no big deal. Or if they say fuck you back, like arguing through like you know internet tough guy style, that is nothing compared to like face to face going up to a girl in a bar. Can I get you a drink? And you can see in her eyes when she looks you over.
No interest.
Zero. That is fucking painful. But that builds character. And no one in our society, and this because I'm like I'm 34, so I'm at that tail end of the millennial, so I'm like outside looking in. It is awful. Like there's like sixes walking around, like nines. It is an inflated situation because no one feels like, hey, you're not that great. Like no one feels that.
Yeah.
And has to deal with that
and
come to grips with it.
Because everybody got a trophy for
seriously,
showing up.
I never got I had to be good at something to get anything done.
Sure. And, you know, but that goes back to the work situation. So there's two sides to that, which is like at the same time when I go on Instagram and I see what other people are doing, because we make our lives look better than they are on social media.
Of course.
Mm-hmm. All of us do.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I'm not on set every day. I'm not doing something cool every day.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever.
Yeah.
But I only post when I am doing something cool because nobody cares about, you know, what stupid show
you're
I'm watching on
reading.
Netflix or the fact that I knit. You know what I mean? So.
Oh, that'd be cool, though. Anyways, keep going.
Yeah. So, I completely lost what I was saying.
You're basically saying that you're a cadet.
Oh, so yeah. So everybody puts... Shut up. So everybody puts their best foot forward on the internet,
yeah.
Whatever. So sometimes you were asking me before, like, what inspires me or whatever. When I do go on, because I follow a lot of people that I admire, mm-hmm. or think are doing really great work, like this agency, Sticks and Stones agency, or... other photographers, lots of different, you know, fashion blogger girls, because mm-hmm. I like interior design a lot. I have a huge love for interior design, and I love anything that's aesthetic, you know.
Yeah.
I want everything to look nice, like mm-hmm. my house or what I'm wearing or whatever I think looks nice. So but I'll go on and then I'm just like, I'm enjoying it, and then I'm mad. And I'm like, oh, fuck. Like, I need to get out and make something
yeah,
new.
Yeah.
You know? And the second I get mad, I'm like, okay, that's perfect. Go do something, get mm-hmm. off the internet, and you've got your thing back, you know?
Nice.
And I do a ton of screenshots.
Because that could be dangerous, too. Because if you have a different personality, because I've been in a situation where I wasn't as evolved as I am now, and I would look at people's Twitters that are in my field that are doing better than me, or...
I get super bummed out.
What the fuck am I doing? I'm a zero. And then I get depressed.
Sure.
But you're saying that what it does for you is like, fuck
but
it.
Not
let's,
always.
Let's put the gloves on and
I have moments,
yeah.
you know, where I'm like, what am I going to do? You know, like, I'm 32. Like, this fucking bitch is 23, mm-hmm. and she's sponsored by all these fucking photo companies.
Yeah.
Why am I not sponsored? Nobody's giving me free cameras. I usually get free men's clothes that I don't care about. No. I love all of you guys that send me stuff, but... You know what I mean? Like,
no, it's never good enough.
And,
you know what I mean?
Yeah, and then I have to remember, like, you're doing what you love every day, and the beauty is the journey.
Mm-hmm.
It's not
the path, right?
The
yeah.
getting there, because, like, I'm never going to get there.
Sure.
Because once I'm there, I'm going to want something higher than there.
Yeah,
you know?
Oh, yeah.
And I remember being in photo school and then putting this fucking pyramid on the blackboard. And, like, cutting it off at the very top and then cutting it off somewhere in the middle.
Yeah.
And they were like, most of you will be down here in the bottom, which means you won't be able to make a living as a photographer. You will get other jobs.
Mm-hmm.
And this will have been just something you did when you were young.
Sure.
And then there'll be some of you up here in the middle that will be able to make a living, but you'll never really make it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like... You'll shoot weddings, or you'll shoot, not to say that there's not some photographers
no,
that shoot weddings that are at
yeah.
the top of their field and they've made it
mm-hmm.
in that field.
That field.
You know, but if you want to be a fashion photographer and you end up shooting weddings in Minnesota, it's like, you know in your mind
oh,
you
yeah.
didn't hit the place you wanted to hit.
You weren't Annie Leibovitz or whatever.
Yeah.
yeah.
Oh my God, Annie Leibovitz. Incredible. She's one of my top favorite,
mm-hmm.
and I love her story. She didn't even mean to do what she's doing, and like...
That's crazy.
She just kind of accidentally became a genius.
But that's
so,
like
whatever.
The pinnacle of what people want
yeah,
to be.
Yeah, but it's also like photographers in this day and age have become kind of a brand in and of themselves. And it's important to be like whatever, you know, a personality. And I remember sitting next to a guy on a plane once. I had to have been like 2 or 3 years out of school, if that. And and I don't remember his name right now. But he was a photographer for Sports Illustrated Swimsuit,
mm-hmm.
and he said,
Walter or something, the famous one. Anyways, keep going.
I don't know.
All right.
But he sat down next to me, and we talked, and I told him what I did and whatever, and he wrote down 3 pages of handwritten notes, right, for me to do about my career. He's like, you need to have 3 main clients and at least 5 every year that are like, you know, whatever. And he just talked about turnover, and he talked about sending out thank you cards, and he talked about how you keep a client, and he talked about way to present yourself. He's like, pick a look and then wear it every time you shoot, every time you're out. like a specific look.
Like a uniform. Like,
yeah. And he wears like all black with a black turtleneck. That was his thing. Mm-hmm. You know, he's much older than me, whatever. But he was like, have a look at, that people will remember you by, you know? And he just, he already knew about branding. And this is before, this is when MySpace had first come out. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So this was before all of the stuff that is now, yeah. You know? But he was really trying to, like, unlock the keys to success for a career, like a real career as a photographer. And I thought it was really interesting because, again, that pyramid comes back and it haunts me. And I feel like I'm somewhere in that middle.
Yeah.
You know, I'm making a living. I like what I do, you know, but, like, I'd like to get to that point.
Sure.
And nowadays, getting to that point means that you're famous as well. Mm-hmm. You know, like, people know who
you're
you are
a personality.
As well.
Yeah.
You know, and that part's really scary because, like we talked about before, and I feel comfortable because it's just a microphone, so it really just feels mm-hmm. like I'm having
it's probably
a conversation
me too. I'm really
with
good at
you.
This yes. as well, yeah.
But a video camera gets in front of me and I choke, you know, and I had so many opportunities in the last 5-10 years to be on VH1 or be on this or be on that, and I always declined to speak to the camera. So therefore, I was just like in the background taking the pictures.
So that's what we got to do then. We got to work on you talking in front of the camera.
Yeah.
We got to get you going.
My 5-year-old stepdaughter is trying to help me with Snapchat. She's like, okay, it's your turn now.
I hate Snapchat. I was on that last night. Someone was like, a model I had on was like, hey, I'm taking over Snapchat. Can you check it out? And, I must be old because it's awful. Like, even the way it's used, like we have to press everything.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
Like, why am I doing this? I don't want
to
do this.
I had to have somebody teach me how to use it. You know what I mean? Like a 22-year-old girl at Playboy had to teach me how to use it because they wanted me to do theirs. You know?
Yeah.
And now I'm using it. Mostly it's just pictures of her like jumping up and down trying to chase bubbles.
Oh, your,
you know
your
what
daughter?
I mean? Yeah. My little stepdaughter. She's so cute. But I'm trying to get better at doing it on shooting days.
Because you have to.
You know what I mean? Yeah, and like making a story, and there's a good one on my Snapchat right now. And then trying to like, you know, on my non-shooting days, let people into the editing process, mm-hmm. you know, and letting people see what I'm doing and like how the retouching is done. And I'm trying to find models that are comfortable with that.
Yeah.
Because I think we need to expose more photos where it's not like, oh my God, look at that Photoshop. Oh my God.
No, it's not
but
about
just
blowing
like,
people's shit up. Yeah.
Like, this is what it really looks like. And this is what it looks like polished.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? It's not, I'm not changing her size. I'm not making her a different person. But, you know, she forgot to tweeze her eyebrows. So I'm tweezing them. You
yeah.
know? Or like, you can see her bikini line, like a little mm-hmm. bit of razor burn.
Yeah.
Everybody gets it. I'm just fixing it because it's distracting in a photo.
Yeah.
Like, that kind of stuff. If she had held her neck up higher, then, you know, I wouldn't have to just elongate her neck a little or things like that where she could do it herself, but we missed it in the moment.
That's the most, that's one of the most interesting part of the, of your job.
Yeah.
It's like a second part of the job.
Sure. The post-production
it's a whole nother thing.
Pre-production and post-production take longer than shooting any day of the week. And like, when people are like, oh my God, that's your rate. It's like, well, that's my rate because you get pre-production
yeah.
and post-production to a certain extent, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
We get paid separately to do
sure.
massive amounts of it or whatever. But, you know, there's a lot that goes into that and color filtering mm-hmm. and color correction and whatever.
Yeah.
But, you know, I try not to make somebody look different than who they are. But I don't think there's anything wrong with touching them up. I just think there needs to be more pictures on the internet of, like, this is a before and after, and there's nothing wrong with the before.
Mm-hmm.
That's how we all walk around.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. That's
there's
every day.
There's nothing wrong with mm-hmm. being like that. And I love some of these girls that get on their fucking Snapchats, no makeup, no whatever, and, like, don't even comment about it. They're not, like, no makeup. They're just like, I'm going to Target. This is what I look like.
Yeah.
You know what
yeah.
I mean? Like, I'm going to Target, and I don't have any eyebrows because I draw them on every day.
Oh, whoop, whoop, that reminds me of from San Diego where a lot of cholas are around.
Yeah,
me,
we all so. Tweezed them in the 90s.
Like really thin.
I got
thin
lucky
or
most of mine came back.
Baby smiles and little Joker.
Yeah, totally.
That's my crew. We got to wrap it up, but I think I want to have you on a lot. We should do a lot more because it's a good dynamic because it's not it's good to talk to somebody on the other side of the camera that has like perspective and also kind of shares similar ideals that I do.
Yeah.
So it's good. Plug where people can find you.
Oh, I mean, I think the easiest thing is Instagram, mm-hmm. and it's Lonnie Lee NYC. So it's LaniLeeNYC. And that's only because my other one got deleted. Because
you're showing titties. That's what you get.
And then some little girl has Lonnie Lee and she has one picture posted. And I send her messages all the time. She doesn't give a fuck.
She's like, nah. So,
yeah.
She's like you. My name. Maybe she hasn't got to it yet. You know, maybe she just saw it. Didn't have an answer.
She's seven. You know what I mean? I'm like, really? So, but that's the easiest place to find me. My website is just LonnieLee.com. Okay. I did get that. You know,
I'm glad you nailed that one down.
So, but yeah, and yeah, I would love to come back.
Yeah, it was fun, right? Yeah. So you were like a little nervous and I gave you the wrong address. She's still here. She's alive. Everything's fine.
I am alive.
And there you have it. Lonnie Lee. Make sure you go to her Instagram page at Lonnie Lee NYC and check out her stuff. You will not regret that. There's a lot of beautiful women on there and also a lot of cool work. And I'm looking forward to seeing her non-nudity work, like her documentary style. I think it's going to be really fun. You guys should check that out, too. That being said, headlining City Steam, June 26th, 27th. If you're in the Hartford, Connecticut area, make sure you come out. Also, Dating on Set, we've released some new sketches for a build-up up to Season 2, which is happening in July. Big, big deal. Make sure you go and love the sketches and subscribe to the channel so you don't miss Season 2. Season 1 was phenomenal. Season 2 is coming out. And Season 2 is even better. Trust me. I wrote it, directed it in a minute, so I know. That being said, you can always reach me at slampigpodcast@gmail.com. Send me the emails. Keep them coming. I'm really enjoying the emails. A lot of interesting things you guys are writing me. You're great. I have the best fans in the whole fucking world. Put it that way. The best listeners. Make sure you subscribe to Slamming Podcast. If you're a first timer, welcome. Let me pop that cherry and subscribe. And then at the end of the day, joshacarlo.com gets you everywhere you gotta go. It is the hub for whatever I'm doing. So if you're a fan of me, or you're a fan of the girls, or you're a fan of the guests, or you're a fan of the show, go there. Everything is there. Stand up, everything, movies, all the stuff I'm doing is right there for you that connects you to everything. So go do that. Want to thank Lonnie Lee again. She's awesome. We had a great time. Make sure you guys support her and whatever she's doing because she deserves it. And you will not be sorry. That being said, I have to go and do important shit. Well, actually, no, I'm probably just going to lay around on the couch and watch Netflix. But that's work for me. I write that off because I write TV. So I'm writing that off as we speak. Life is good. Enjoy the rest of your week. Lots of love. We'll be right back.